Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another fantastic episode, episode 29 of the Digital Commando Show. It is Motivation Monday. So what have we got to talk about today? Once again, we're going to be talking about our morning routines, what gets us up in the morning, what gets us driven and ready to go. Then we'll be talking about what drives us. So once we're up and we're ready to go, what's going to keep us driven for the rest of the week, the month, the quarter, the year? Then we're going to talk about daily habits for success. And finally, we're going to talk about top tips for productivity. So what guests have I got on for you today? We've got Fidel, he's back again from the Modern Man Coach, and also Nick from Just Play. So let's bring him into the room.
Good morning.
Hey.
Monday, baby.
It's Monday, our favorite day of the week.
Monday motivation.
Guys, thank you very much for joining me. And for everybody watching, thank you very much for joining us as well. As you can see, we've got Fidel. He's back again, the man, the legend that is. And we've got a new guest today, which is Nick, which you'll find out a little bit more about in just a second. Now, what I say about the show is, if you enjoy it and you get benefit from it, then we only ask one thing, and that's to pay it forward and share it with at least three other people that you feel could benefit from it as well. Either tag them in the comments or share the whole thing with them to watch on the replay. I don't mind. Let's just pay it forward and make sure everybody can benefit from the experts I've got on the show today. So, Fidel, for those that missed the last show or might not know who you are at the moment, can you do a quick introduction to Fidel and the Modern Man Coach, please?
A quick introduction. Yeah, my name is Fidel Bohill. I am the Modern Man Coach. I run a big Facebook community called the Modern Man Club with a community interest company of the same name. I'm an NLP master coach and a hypnotherapist, and I work with men who have been through sticky patches, so divorce, breakups, midlife crisis, stuff like that. I get motivated on a Monday.
Awesome. Thank you, Fidel. And Nick, over to you.
Hi. So it's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Stefan. So I'm Nick Bottini. I am the author of the best-selling book, Just Play, The Simple Truth Behind Musical Excellence. And I'm a coach that works predominantly in the music industry. I've worked with rock stars and conservatoire students and other creatives, but I've also worked with business people. And really what I help people to do is to simplify the stuff that goes on in their head so they can achieve more. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Guys, it's great to have you on the show. Now, Monday is definitely one of my favorite talking points, as I'm sure it is for you guys, because like the points we've got today, starting off with morning routine. Now, I absolutely love morning routine, absolutely swear by it. And I've recently changed up my morning routine so I can get more done in the morning before I start work. So for those that are kind of watching now, my morning routine's about 3 to 3.5 hours long, and that's before you start work. But I absolutely love it. Fidel, we're going to come across to you first. Do you want to give us a bit of insight into the morning routine? What kind of gets you in your head in the game and ready to go, and what you're kind of coaching other people to do as well?
Yeah, so I have quite a sort of specific morning routine that can be done in a fairly short space of time. Like you, I've also extended it since we've been in lockdown, which has been really, really nice, actually, and doing some other stuff. But my morning routine is something that I do give to lots of my clients. I also show them how to tweak it to make it a bit more personal to them, but it includes a fairly specific routine. This might be a bit graphic for a Monday morning, I don't know. I wake up, I have a poo, and then I weigh myself. All right. I'll tell you what, I weigh myself every day. And the reason for doing that is I just believe my sort of health is really, really important to me. It's one of my primary values. And I'd like to just know where I am every day, the truth of it. And I think the numbers don't lie. So I have an upper limit and a lower limit. And just weight is just a really easy way to check in with whether you've been overdoing it or underdoing it or over-exercising, overeating, whatever it is. And it also puts it in the front of my mind if I'm edging towards my sort of upper limit of what I need to do each day, like to keep myself in balance. After that, I go over my values, my 10-year vision. I do some sort of affirmation work as well. And then I drink a lot of water. I drink a glass of water. I do some exercises. I do press-ups, sit-ups, squats, and I do that no matter whether I'm training or not, if I'm going for a run, if I'm going to the gym, when I used to be able to go to the gym from boxing training, no matter what, I do some sets of exercise, of those basic ones, press-ups, sit-ups, squats. And it's because I know that if nothing else happens throughout a day, something else comes along to knock me off my path or something like that, then at least I've done something. I've done this sort of minimum bit of physical activity. Then I have my breakfast. That's my kind of like short bit of thing. So I do sort of mind and body with that. And I know that it's tucked up and done throughout the day. Since lockdown, I've then included some journaling, some meditation, and some reading into that. So yeah, I've probably extended that to about 2 hours now, which is really, really nice. And I'm into it, and I might just keep it.
I love that. And I think I've kind of followed in a very similar kind of structure, I guess. I think the fitness and the water is so key. Everyone forgets water. Massive.
I always say, drink more water. That's it, my number one tip.
That is. If anyone takes away anything from today, drink more water. But yeah, the fitness side, I think it gives you loads to get up and go, gets the blood pumping, gets the endorphins out, ready to be positive for the morning. And yeah, so I've done the same thing. I've incorporated into my morning the reading as well. I audio book it, so I kind of mix it in with meditation now. So I kind of sit down, relax, and listen. And then I've added in learning as well. So that's kind of a whole hour of it. So I kind of go, right, I'm going to learn something new, and I take an hour to learn as well. So I really, really like that. Oh, I've just hit myself on the thing. Nick, how about yourself? Tell us a bit about your morning routine, work, brain. Function. It's more a Monday morning. It should be working by now. Tell us about your morning routine, Nick, and a bit about what you coach your students as well.
Yeah. So I've been through periods where I've gone in for sort of asking myself lots of morning questions, like the Tony Robbins thing, or sort of doing breathing exercises and stuff. And these days, to be honest, I want to have as little in my way as possible. In the morning to kind of get started and be doing the work in the world that I'm here to do. So literally at the moment, what I'm doing is, you know, because often when you wake up, you don't necessarily feel like you want to do things the very first moment. So I have a drink of water. I sit myself down and make sure that the first hour or so of my day is kind of quiet time for me to be able just to be with myself, whether that means reading a book, or whether it means literally just sitting in silence, or whether it means doing some kind of meditative, like contemplation, I suppose. But what I've sort of moved away from is like kind of being too kind of wedded to a list of stuff that I feel I've got to do every single day. Then if I haven't done it, I've failed. And if I have done it, I've succeeded. I just want to, like, you know, some days I want motivating music. Some days I want total silence. Some days I want just a glass of water and to eat breakfast a bit later. And I want that freedom at the beginning of the day. And I want an opportunity just to be with myself, and then I can decide how I'm doing things, rather than responding to social media or responding to a list of to-dos that I've set myself. You know, I want that kind of peace of mind, that sort of clarity to start my day.
Good.
Yeah, I really like that. I think you brought up some really key points there. I think Fidel would agree, this social media and the phones and the news side of things first thing in the morning. Now, it's something that's really difficult, and I'm like super addicted to my phone. Naturally, I work in digital marketing. I want to be like straight on social media and find out what's going on. I am consciously, I'm not going to say that I do this every day because I don't, but I am conscious of it, and I want to try and do this. And I think everybody should, because it's quite refreshing not to have all that. A lot of it's negative, isn't it? Well, the news is definitely negative. There's no positive in the news. Like, everybody watched Boris's speech yesterday. That makes loads of sense to everyone.
It was clear, crystal clear. Yeah.
Crystal clear, clear as mud. Yeah, so we're all none the wiser. And obviously then all the press jump on it, loads of negative stories. So I try and I avidly avoid the news now anyway. But I think social media is also something that you can very quickly get consumed with. So I would say, yeah, I think that's really good points that you brought up there, Nick.
I'm pretty good on social media, but not again. I do spend a lot of time on there, even more since we've been on lockdown. But actually, as you, if you follow me, I do, one of the first things I do actually is wake up and fire up some content, because stuff bubbles away and it comes out of me. So I do usually do an early morning post and in my groups, but I kind of dump and run. I don't do the whole scrolly thing. So when I wake up, sometimes I just have something and it goes on there, but I dump and run and then I go and get on with the rest of my stuff and come back to it a bit later.
Yeah, I think that can work, but if it's part of the kind of routine to kind of go, right, I'm going to do that and then step away from it, that works quite well.
Groups and stuff, they wait for their morning posts and things, and I'm running a program at the moment, a four-week program, and one of the video goes out at 6 o'clock, so I have to check that that's actually gone out and some of the guys have seen it and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'll do a little bit.
But it was funny, because we did your networking group, actually, a couple of weeks ago, which lasted... It's the record-breaking Zoom. I've never been on Zoom for that long. So this was, if anybody watched the show a few weeks ago, we did make reference to it. Not too much for them, do not worry. it was a very long, 7 hours, I think I was on Zoom for.
Wow.
It was a 7 hour.
Dedication.
We started at 8 and we finished at 3 a.m., but it was really cool, people in the group. So I highly recommend anybody join. It's really, really cool. And we talked, one of the guys brought up a question and we fired it around the room, which is, what will you do less of when you leave lockdown? And almost everybody's answer was, I want to do less social media, because we're just on it now all the time.
Yeah.
So it's quite an interesting point that people brought up. But yeah, the Modern Man Club, mixed with the Modern Women's Club, you can only imagine what carnage it was. So we've kind of talked about what gets us up and gets us ready to go and gets us driven for the day. Now, one of those things that some people can't really struggle with is to maintain that composure and that drive throughout the whole week or throughout the whole month, or to try and hit their goals and things like this over a longer period. What advice have you got for people that are struggling to maintain that motivation or that drive? Fidel, we're going to come over to you first.
All right. I think actually it's really important to think about what Nick said there. And I think my opinion on this has changed somewhat since lockdown. And I think this rigidity possibly isn't that helpful for lots and lots of people. So this concept of being driven and all of that, the way that I always explain it and my language and the way that my kind of philosophy works is around that masculine feminine energy. And I think that driving, that determination, those goals and all that is a very, very, that's what I would use to describe very masculine traits. And it's using a lot of masculine energy. That's not differentiating between men and women, by the way. I'm not going to go too deep on that, but it's very masculine energy. And actually at the moment, I think this current situation is calling for us more to step into our feminine energy, to be more allowing, to be more receptive, to be more intuitive, to be a bit more internal. And so actually, I'm just being a bit more kind to ourselves at the moment. Under normal circumstances, the thing that I preach for a sort of sustained motivation and energy and drive is being in tune with your values. That's the program that I teach and all the processes that I work with my clients. It's finding out what your core values are, what your values are in different life domains, having a long-term vision, so knowing exactly where you're going and why you're going there, and then you can figure out your goals from that. But that motivation comes really from knowing why you're doing stuff. I also did a group coaching call this morning on my program and talked about the importance of negative motivation sometimes. It is all well and good to have these lovely, beautiful visions of the future with your Ferraris and Lamborghinis and beaches or whatever it is you've got in there, wherever it is you want to go. But sometimes when you're procrastinating and you have to do something, actually what's more useful is tapping into some of the negativity, like what is going to happen if I don't do this bit of work? What is going to happen if I don't do that? Again, that's kind of like my processes under normal circumstances. At the moment, I'm talking a lot more, actually, guys, let's minimize that. One of the things I do, I post in the Modern Man Club and I do with my clients, is what the three things. So I try and scale stuff back, so rather than big long to-do lists that can leave you feeling deflated, confused, overwhelmed. I get my people to be a lot more thoughtful in choosing their priorities and what actually really matters, a bit like values. So what really matters today? Like, what are the three things that, you know, even if I only do two of them, will move me forwards in the direction that I want? And that way, if you only tick off one or two of those three things, you still achieve something for the day. So rather than two or three things off a 10 item list, that can make you feel sort of like a bit of a failure sometimes. So I think just being really narrow-minded and focused and knowing what your priorities are is really helpful as well.
I really like that. I think it's the core values thing. I think this is a great exercise for a lot of people to do while we say that, like at the minute, a lot of us, not everyone, like of course, but a lot of people are taking the time to work on their business rather than in their business. And I think if anybody's kind of going through that exercise at the minute, then maybe doing a core values exercise is really, really good. Just to kind of remind yourself of what are the core values, why are we doing this sort of stuff. We refer to the why a lot, actually, on lots of shows of why we're doing things like this. The negative side is quite interesting, actually, that you brought that up, because that's something I get comment, or I get tagged in all these posts consistently, because digital marketers, we're famous for this. So we're always kind of going, I won't do it, I won't do it, I won't do it, until like the last minute. I think the negative side always, it's very much related to procrastination, isn't it?
It is.
We'll put things off all the way until we're like, I have to get it done today or I'm in trouble. That's quite an interesting one you brought up about a negative. I've never heard anybody refer to it that way, so that's quite cool. Nick, we're going to come over to you now as well. So what do you feel that you've got that kind of continues that long-term drive? And for people that obviously are doing any coaching with yourself, what keeps them driven to continue going and going and going?
It's a really kind of crucial question, and I think it's something that everybody ends up asking themselves. And I really resonated with what Fidel said. It just seems to me that there's kind of two levels or two ways of sort of thinking about it, because it's very important for someone, I think, to have their own individual sets of like rituals and habits and stuff, things that they go to feel kind of secure that they'll be able to deliver certain results if they've got to do. And you know, it's nice to feel motivated, but this kind of myth that it's actually possible to maintain a high level of motivation like 100% of the time, people might talk as if they can do that, but the more closely you look at the truth of what they do, not just what they say, we find that everybody kind of has this kind of up and down internal experience. And it's, and you know, aside from those things, those kind of tools and techniques that might help sort of move the energy around, I think that the second way of looking at, which is where I generally point most of my clients, who are typically sort of people who've got lots of tools, they've spent many years working very hard and pushing themselves very, very far and achieving lots of things, but kind of almost, you know, very often at the expense of like burning out, because they want to constantly maintain this thing that's kind of going against the grain. So what I end up doing probably more of the time is to point, and I do it for myself as well, sort of pointing as a general direction, sort of pointing them inwards, you know, to their own wisdom, rather than following a routine because an expert says so, or doing something because they feel that they should be doing something, like being productive. There's a lot of talk on there has been a lot of talk on social media about why we should be so productive, and like Fidel was saying, it's like that. I think it's very, very important for us to be able to calibrate ourselves, you know, to be able to know that, you know, actually I've been quite unkind to myself recently, and I'm pushing myself to do more than I'm really, really is healthy. And so to be able to know when to take your foot off the gas and know when to put your foot on the gas, that kind of calibration, like a driver of a car has to do, I think that is a more sort of fundamental underpinning, because it's not just about being able to hit the accelerator. It's the fact that the accelerator kind of moves. And there are certain times when you need to hit the accelerator, and there are certain times when you must back off and hit the brakes. And both are important. It's that balance. It's that kind of interplay, and sort of knowing how the mind works more than just tools and techniques. I mean, there's definitely a place for it, but the kind of the bigger picture of what's going on, and it may sound sort of philosophical to people, but the more I've worked with people and I've worked on myself, I've sort of reached the conclusion that you need to have both. You can't just have the tools and techniques. There needs to be a kind of grounding to your, I guess, like your personal philosophy, or like, you know, your philosophy of how you think the world works. It needs to have both, I think.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you, Nick. Really, really good. Is there anything you wanted to say for Dale before I jump in?
No, just I totally agree. Like, you know, it's all about the inner work, really, and knowing yourself. Because it's unproductive, isn't it? If you just keep going until you burn out, it's nonsense. Again, I work with the guys that are coming out the other end of that, and I mean that myself. It's just it defeats the object, doesn't it? Really.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it is very key these days to listen to yourself, listen to your body, especially when we are trying to work at kind of a high capacity. One of the things I've been quite interested in at the minute, and you guys will probably know a lot more about this than me, is the kind of biohacking type theory of doing the right things to keep your energy levels at maximum as much as possible so that you can perform at higher levels. And I've always found that quite interesting. I'm kind of researching that quite a bit at the minute. But it's ironic that we're doing the show. In a minute, we're going to talk about productivity. But at the same time, for everybody watching, this is lockdown. We are just normally at work. It's not a bloody productivity competition. And you don't have to post everything you do online either. Like, we don't care. It's not really, I'm seeing that so much. But Nick, what you said there about with the car and the accelerator, I really resonate with that because it's so true. And if we do go at full speed and just whack that accelerator down and go, eventually we'll lose control of the vehicle, which I think is what we see a lot of. I think it is a case of taking that balance. But, you know, I really like the theory that you're going with there. All right, we're going to go on to... Oh, actually, we'll bring up a question before we go on to the next point. Mm-hmm. So we have a question here from Shireen. I'm going to throw it onto the screen. What is the best way to list out goals and follow them? I tend to make a list on paper, but lose it before I finish even half of my tasks. Any digital options you have found to be effective? Okay, so I guess this is maybe like an element of software question there, but I think there's kind of a bit more to it in the sense of actually what Fidel said earlier on about having like more of an achievement list than a kind of to-do list, I guess, isn't it? In that sense, I'm going to come over to you first to answer that question. That's right, Fidel.
Okay, mate. So I've got my goal set. Again, it's a process. I know it's worked for me. It's worked for loads of my clients. Pretty straightforward. Values, vision, goals. I think what we fail to do sometimes with goals is people get obsessed with the goal part and they pick arbitrary goals. I know this because I did it. And that's what led me to this, the development of my little process, because I was just like, why am I doing this? This doesn't link in with anything else that's actually important to me in my life. That's probably why I'm not motivated to do it. It's actually taking me away from where I want to end up long term. So why am I wasting my time on it? So lots of people do goals without really thinking through why they're doing them. So I know what's important to you, know your values, know where you're heading long term, and then work your goals back from that, making sure that they're taking you in the direction that you want to go in and they're in line with your values, right? That's the first thing to sticking to them. From a practical perspective, I mean, if it's really important, I put it in the diary, like, do you know what I mean? I put it in my digital diary and it's got I schedule it. I schedule the time to do it and I schedule, I put it in my diary because it's an appointment with yourself, isn't it? It's an appointment with your life. It's an important appointment with your with your vision, your values and your goals.
Absolutely. I think it's good to schedule time into kind of, if it's a long-term goal, to even schedule time in to just look at where you're at. And obviously you create a plan that goes back all the way to how you're going to achieve it anyway. But to keep looking back on that and kind of going, right, okay, where am I at with that goal? Am I on the way? But I completely relate to what Fidel was saying earlier on. You just wave at the camera.
Oh, I know. I also have post-it notes stuck like over my desk with various my goals and stuff like that, longer term ones, and even my three things for the day go on a little post-it note and they get stuck there. So yeah, I don't forget. Old school.
I can't remember what I was going to say. Sorry. But yeah, no. But where was I going with that? Oh, I hate when I do this. Yeah, set your goals and achieve them. Okay,
make a meme.
I'll come back to you later. Over to you, Nick.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, what Fidel just said about choosing, having the right goals. I think that's it's such an important thing because we have so many thoughts about ourselves that we don't question. This is pretty much everybody that if we start the sort of goal setting process, whatever yours may be, of trying to be a certain character or trying to be what society wants you to be, then they can sort of, we don't notice it, but we can end up sort of writing, you know, following someone else's script. And I think being aware that goes on is really, really important. So someone once said to me that a goal is not something that you get to, it's a place that you come from, you know. And I think if we can do that sort of minus all the mental noise, then you'll find a way sort of intuitively to make it a reality, which is what I heard, Fidel say. But in terms of sort of practically, instead of like losing bits of paper, because I'm terrible for losing bits of paper, I keep a notebook where I just have like all my sort of brain vomit that I sort of keep it in all one place. So I know that I don't have lots of bits of paper. I'm not the person to give you a sort of advice about using an app or something, but I just find like, you know, there's a certain point at which a goal goes from being a nice dream to being something that you actually do because you actually care about it. And most people, or very many people, like to talk about it without doing the actual committing and the doing bit, you know, and that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. So it doesn't, I value the question, and I think, you know, find a simple way, do it. I think is probably the answer that I would give, you know.
Absolutely. I think it kind of drags back, and we're going to go on to habits in a minute anyway, but one of the things that kind of relates to what you just said, that was to one of the habits from the famous Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, which is start with the end in mind. And I think this is key for us to know exactly where that journey ends up so that we can backtrack it and actually start to visualize it a lot better. So yeah, and I think it's going back to what I was going to say earlier on, Fidel, I remembered. Having those goals, don't interrupt me again because I'll forget again. Having those goals, it does need to be something that genuinely you feel quite passionate about. If you really want to achieve it, there needs to be an emotional connection there. Mm. Now, my big one when I first, I was kind of, the company was going really well. I was probably about 2 years in, still startup-y. But my goal was a particular car, and I've spoken about it on the show before. I really wanted this car. But when I could actually afford it, I wasn't bothered at all. Like, there was no real emotional connection to the car. It was to go and buy a car to show off to people that I don't like. And that was it, really. Mm. It was true. It was genuinely the reason. It was so I could drive back to my hometown and rub it in the face of all the people that said I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But by that time, I kind of changed. And I was just like, you know what? Number one, I don't care what they think anymore. Therefore, there's no reason for me to have to own this car. So that was kind of it.
It's really common, that.
Yeah.
It's really common, yeah.
Oh, that's good. I don't feel strange now. That's all right.
It's less common that people actually cop it before they buy the car, to be fair.
Oh, fair, yeah. Right, we're going to move on to daily habits coming off the back of the last comment. Actually, that works really well. So, daily habits for success. Now, I'm a huge, huge fan of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Read the book religiously. It's like my mini Bible. But I won't go into, obviously, all of that. If anybody wants to know, just read it. a lot easier than me explaining it. So Fidel, we're going to come over to you first. What habits have you got within your life that you feel are, that make you effective, or have daily habits for success?
Yeah. So again, that the stuff that I coach and teach is just stuff that has worked for me, and it's been tried and tested, helped me overcome various kind of hiccups and been put together. A habit is a regular practice that's hard to give up and tends to occur subconsciously, right? And a routine is a sequence of action that's regularly followed. So it's really important. I think like designing your habits and routines is really important. So for me, a routine is a little string of habits that you've designed specifically, again, in line with your values, taking you towards your vision. So like you are what you repeatedly do. I hate to be a little bit of a quote machine here, but like that's the thing for me. When you create your 10-year vision, I do, it's really important to look at the person who is sat there achieving all the things that you want to achieve. And what habits and routines do they have? What are they doing on a regular basis? That successful person that might feel far removed from you, what are the things that they're likely to be doing? The quicker you start doing them, the quicker you'll become that person, the quicker you'll get to that place. So one of the things I do is I break life down into the three, four sort of life domains, and that's your health, your wealth, your relationships, and yourself. And I try and cover all of those things off and make them happen unconsciously and regularly. So you've got things that habits that take care of your health, like drinking water, doing some exercise, your wealth, like what you looking at your work, doing your accounts, looking at your bank account and checking you're not paying out any too much direct debits, your relationships, scheduling time with your partner, with your kids, or just making sure that they're sort of priorities, and there's a routine that you're in with those people. So you've got a minimum line of stuff that's going to keep you afloat, keep you alive, and keep you happy. A minimum line, all right? And that then allows you loads more freedom to just be and be intuitive and be in your flow and be creative. And spend more time doing this or that, because you know you're not going to end up in a big pile of debt or a load of overweight. You know, you're not going to be consumed by those other things that totally distract us from all the other stuff that we do. So if you can get just some real basic stuff that underpins all of the key areas of your life, and you get them, you turn those into habits and well thought out habits and routines, you'll find it's much easier to just motor along, and you'll have a lot more time and freedom and space and be a lot more relaxed about stuff and less likely to end up in a big car crash.
I really like that. And that's so the premise behind that then. So it is, everyone go away and create at least one habit or routine a day. They stick to that, focus on health, wealth, relationship, and self. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to rhyme.
No. Oh. It kind of does. Health, wealth, relationship. Lots of people do it. It's just my thing. And then the self bit, to be fair, I always took that bit for granted, but I've now actually started, because I think if you nail all of those, you end up, but I'm now actually bringing it in as part of it, because everybody thinks the same way I do. So it's had to be taught for a lot of people.
Yeah, I really like that. That's really cool. Nick, we're going to come to you. So what would you recommend to people that want to create daily habits for success? Or do you currently have any that you want to share?
I like to talk to people about sort of the principles behind why they might put any habit in place. And it seems to me that I've certainly had times, and I'm sure everyone listening can relate to those times, where there's a sort of feeling that we get that we're not quite doing the whatever it is we're here to do in the world, whether that's be quite as fit as we should be, or whether that's to have the kind of relationships like Fidel said in those different areas. And I guess I'm going a bit meta here, but I think it's really important for people listening to sort of be able to take this stuff and then sort of embed it for their own specific situation. So I like to, a key habit, I think, is I want to calibrate myself and sort of know and ask myself sort of whether I am avoiding something that I really need to be doing. You know, am I making a pretty, you know, sometimes I make like a pretty like sort of work schedule to avoid just getting started with it because I know it'll take me an extra 20 minutes. And it's really a sort of subconscious sort of way of putting it off. The more I can kind of sort of calibrate my own feelings, like am I messing with myself or am I actually just getting on with stuff? I think that habit of kind of sort of assessing and of sort of being, I guess, like being truthful, maybe that's sort of cutting my own bullshit and sort of looking in the mirror and saying, you know, what's the most important thing I really need to do right now, you know, and be honest about where I am right now. It means that I'm not following someone else's agenda or following my sort of dream agenda when I'm actually in a situation that's different to my dream and requires me to be a certain way, you know. So I think it's really important to be able to sort of just give up these sort of false beliefs that we have and be able to sort of come back to the moment, you know. So it's about sort of being true to ourselves and sort of coming back to the moment. And then, you know, and what I find myself doing as a result of that kind of calibration is, you know, like we said about the morning thing, you know, I want to have the space and I want to often sort of do my deepest work in the morning because it's when I feel freshest, you know. And there's a great book by a guy called Cal Newport called Deep Work, which I've really sort of enjoyed recently, and he just says that people are often used to this kind of distracted way of being that they don't even notice that they're distracted, you know. And so they think, oh yeah, I'm an adult, I can concentrate, I don't need to be told to concentrate like a little kid. But actually the ability to concentrate like a you know, like a master artist or like a thought leader or like you know, those people that have made the biggest sort of impact in the world, it's due to the fact that they're able to go super, super, super deep and they cut out distractions. So I like to turn off my phone where I can. I like to be in my bubble where I'm kind of protected from distractions so that I can do the thing I'm there to do. And then if I want to be distracted for an hour or what have you, then I do. But, you know, if I'm practicing the sax, for example, I'm a musician, I want to be there with the horn. I don't want to be. And I don't always, I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect because I'm not, but I try to listen to how one note sounds and be there with it rather than just doing stuff because I'm telling myself I'm being busy. It's, we just need to cut that kind of noise out of our life. And then suddenly we find we're really productive because there's none of the extra distractions internally or externally. It's a subtractive process for me.
I think you bring up some really good points on it. I think one of the things that jumps out there is the amount of people that really like to write lists and create plans.
Oh yeah,
things on the list or doing what they plan to do.
I've been there.
I've totally been there. I love it. I used to sit there and go, do you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to redo my business plan because it needs doing. It's business crucial. It's very important. It's not, is it? It'd be much more effective for me just to do the stuff that I was supposed to do on the business plan in the first place.
Have a sales call, yeah, for example. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That's going to be more productive for the day, especially if you close it, than it would be to go, well, look what I've achieved. I've got a better plan now. Great. You could do that every day, couldn't you? But I speak to so many people that do go through that, and the same with some people that might, like, writing lists. You might say, right, okay, what am I going to do today? I know what I need to do. I better write a list. And you write this list that takes an hour, really well thought out, good timings, maybe different colors, fantastic, really good to go. By this point, it's 11 o'clock in the morning, you've wasted an hour, or 2 hours, or whatever. And it's just one of those things where we kind of go, oh, we confuse movement with action, I think. It's kind of that, right, we're not going to get any results there, or motion with action as a quote, isn't there?
it is just about being a bit more thoughtful. That's why I came up with the three things idea, because like if you, it's worth spending an hour thinking about three things that are going to be really productive and important than spending an hour writing a list or even just working haphazardly. Do you know what I mean? It's worth actually spending some time and going, what do I want to achieve? Why do I want to achieve it? Where's it going to take me? Do you know what I mean? And coming up with three super like powerful things that you can do that day. They can only be small, but I'm telling you, if you do that, if you do three things, three tiny little things that are in line with your values, taking you towards your vision and are actually really well thought out, you do that consistently over a year, you only have to work a couple of hours every day and you will be streaks ahead of somebody who's out there smashing 8, 10, 15 hour days. I'm telling you, just take the time to think about it first.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And eat that frog. I refer to this book in every episode, but it's very good. Eat the Frog. It gives you energy for the morning. For those who don't know Eat the Frog, it's a fantastic book that talks about doing the thing that you really don't want to do in that day. Do that first, and then you're not. Just try it, and it feels so much better. You just feel like a weight is off your shoulders, and you're good to go for the day. It really does give you energy to get going. All right, so we've got another question we'll go on to before our final point from Sarah Gibson, which is, do you think motivation will increase or decrease after lockdown? I'll be interested to see how returning to normal, we love normal, will affect people. That's an interesting one.
It is an interesting one, isn't it?
Will people be more motivated or less? Do you know what I found? We were having a conversation about this the other day, me and a couple of friends, and what we found was really funny is everybody's at home at the minute and people are starting to complain, aren't they? They're like, well, I'm furloughed. Do you know what? I'd love to go back to work. Within 1 week of everyone being back at work, they'll be going like, wish I was on that furlough again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be that. It's
always greener, isn't it?
Mm. Everyone likes to have a whinge. But I don't know. I'm going to go, who wants to go first?
I'll talk to it because, I mean, I think this is one of those things that you know, I've noticed that those people that had their ship shape before lockdown have kind of got their ship shape still, you know, and those people that maybe didn't and weren't that motivated necessarily, probably, you know, nothing much has changed necessarily. It might have given them an opportunity to sort of consider and sort of look at things under a microscope a bit. But I don't know if it's really possible to say whether sort of everyone will be more motivated. I'd like to think that society will have learned something from this experience. I think people are definitely more sort of technologically willing to sort of use Zoom and to explore sort of working remotely. So I think there's a kind of motivation that could come from knowing that there's more possibilities than most people are making use of. But I think there's also undeniably, like we've talked about already, it's like, you know, whatever is the kind of outcomes of the mindset that someone has, the root cause of it is someone's, you know, how much sort of inner work or what kind of inner space they're coming from. So, you know, for me, quite honestly, it hasn't felt like, I mean, I have a sort of up and down kind of sort of set of feelings anyway, and lockdown's no different. So I can't say that I would be any more or less motivated. I think it would be more of the same kind of roller coaster of being a human being. Mm-hmm. But I think people will have learned stuff for sure.
I hope so. I think it's one of the things.
I hope so.
I really, really do hope so. I don't want people to look back on lockdown and go, do you know what? I did nothing. I achieved nothing from it. Now, for the people on furlough, even if it's, I spent more time with my family, and that was good. Like, I even just get something out of it. I say to people that are currently furloughed, and I say that loosely in the sense of people that are furloughed that know they're going to go back to a job and not worried about not going back to a job, that this is a great time to take advantage of just having some time. Like, you don't need to do anything. Spend time with the family, enjoy that, because you're not going to get this much time off for another 40, 50 years, probably. None of us are retiring anytime soon. So this is the longest holiday you're ever going to have. Take advantage of it. And I think for me, just seeing people, to hopefully lots of people will see that there are new opportunities out there. They might have discovered a passion that they didn't know they had before and grown in some way, whether that's going to do a language, learning a new skill, starting a new career potentially. So I hope people are motivated coming out the back of this to do something that makes them more happy than maybe the mundane job that they hated before. That's kind of I would like to hope. Fidel, what do you think?
I'm going to go left field with this one. Not left field, but I'm optimistic. So personally, I'm an extrovert. So I've the last 2 weeks I've been going really, really deep work, spending about 40% of my time actually in the last 3 weeks probably has just been spent on doing my stuff and like really picking that apart. This was it as an excuse? Was I just giving myself this label because, you know, I liked all this other stuff? So I've kind of cracked a lot of it, which is really freeing. And I think a lot of people have just been faced with this opportunity to go inwards for the first time. Like Nick was saying, so easy to be distracted. There's just less distractions. Yes, there's a lot more social media, but you know, there's still times where we've just got an opportunity to have, enforced or not, to sit with ourselves a little bit more. On a sort of societal level, I think motivations will certainly have changed. Like, we're all sat here with our lovely cars on the bloody driveway. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, there's no job that we were slaving away at. You know, people that are going to work and doing 9 to 5. What was I doing all that for? Oh, actually, here's my true values. My values have actually changed. It's not about buying a car. It's not about money. It's actually time. How important is this now? How important is it to have this stuff with my family? How important is it to reflect on myself and how I'm being? And I did a whole podcast interview about this the other day, and how we're shifting from that masculine energy, which is drive, determination, get things done, blah, 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 blah. We're moving into, without getting too woo-woo, this age of Aquarius, this age of femininity, where, weirdly enough, this thing has come along and just gone, bam. You look, now is the time to be more thoughtful. Now is the time to look at what's going on with the environment. Now's not the time to just churn out rubbish bits of plastic for us all to consume. Now's the time for us to do a bit more spiritual work, to be a bit more thoughtful. And so I think we will be more motivated because a lot more of us will have had some clarity on what our values are. And I think from a societal level, we've all had our eyes opened a little bit more. More of us have had our eyes opened a little bit more to what's important and where we all want to be in the future, rather than just going on the little hamster wheel that we were on before.
Absolutely. I'm not going to try and comment on it because it's kind of perfect. I think it was spot on. it's going to be, I just think it's going to be really, really, really interesting. I'm obviously super, super optimistic. I love optimism. And it's just, I'm really excited to see what happens when we come out, because I think it will be positive. I don't see really many negatives. But yeah, I'm really, really excited. So let's go with productivity. Now, remember, everyone that's watching, it's not a productivity competition. But if you're struggling, here's a couple of tips. So we're going to look at different things that keep us productive. And that can be anything from software to, we've talked about habits, and obviously habits and routines do keep us productive. But just kind of any general, I suppose, actionable things that people can kind of go, do you know what, I can go and do that today and now and do it and be more productive. Fidel?
Tell you. Drink more water, eat more veg, do some exercise. You will be more productive.
See ya.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't use a lot of apps or anything else like that. I use my diary, my Google Calendar, and put stuff in there. But apart from that, the only things that actually make me more productive, apart from all the stuff we've kind of just discussed, is lose the distractions, turn your phone off, keep yourself fit and healthy and as higher energy as possible, which is drink more water, eat well, do some exercise, keep yourself physically fit, get good sleep, really important. Do those things. Like it just starts there. You're a human being, man. Keep your engine ticking over and you will be more productive. I think searching around for different apps to play with and stuff like that, that's just more distraction, man.
More procrastination, looking for
it. It is. It's bullshit. I don't think that's needed. Post-it notes and pen and a good clear vision of where you're going and a healthy body and healthy mind, and you're good.
Happy days. So put the phones away, people. Not right now. You're allowed to between around like 11 and 12 daily and 8 p.m. till 9 p.m. You're more than welcome to use them. But outside of those times, very unproductive.
If you've got those three things and you've thought them out really properly, like very few things would take, you can do almost all things in like literally a couple of hours. Like the world, Facebook isn't going to implode without you on there for 2 or 3 hours. Just turn your phone off for 2 or 3 hours, focus on what you've got to do and kind of get it done. And then you can, and then you've got this freedom and time and space.
Absolutely. Cheers, Miguel. And Nick, what about yourself? Any tips for productivity for everyone?
I think the big one is like do the, whether you call it like the personal development or the spiritual work or the psychological work, do whatever you need to do to sort of get to the bottom of like how your feelings work. Because, you know, I see a lot of people, you know, the reason that they feel that they're not productive is because they have a feeling that is, oh, I don't feel motivated, or I don't feel ready, or I don't feel worthy. And they take that feeling as a kind of like instruction from the universe saying you are not worthy, so therefore you cannot do this thing. Whereas in fact that feeling of you are not worthy is a feeling, and it turns out you can do stuff while you don't feel motivated or worthy or happy, or, you know, and I know that it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do. I'm not, you know, I've had times when I've sort of just want to curl up in a ball on the sofa and not do anything. And everyone's had an experience where they haven't felt like doing something or haven't felt able to do something, and they do it anyway, even though that feeling that they don't really like is still there, you know. And I talk to performers, for example, who they come to me sort of wanting to cure performance anxiety, and by the end of the conversation they sort of see that wanting to cure, it's not the fact that they have the feeling of anxiety from time to time, it's the fact that they try and resist or try and do something about a feeling. And it's like weather. You don't need to kind of run around going it's raining or it's snowing, it's not, it's just like let that feeling be and get your stuff done, and it turns out you can do all kinds of things from all kinds of different feelings. There's no sort of feeling prerequisites to be able to be productive, if that's what the lockdown or whatever is sort of calling you to do. So I think sort of knowing that you can do stuff from all kinds of different feelings, that has, you know, it's a kind of a cliche for a coach to say it's changed my life. But if there was one thing I could give, you know, to the people listening, it's that. It's like, don't worry so much about having the right feeling. Do the thing anyway. And you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed what you can do, because you become a different person as a result of that.
I really like that. I think that's something that's really interesting, and I've never heard anybody express it that way before. But no, it's a good way to think of it, I think, for many people watching now, of kind of going, oh, I'm having one of them bad days. Oh, I feel rubbish. I'm not going to do anything. When actually you could just kind of flip it on its head and kind of go, do you know what, I'm having a bad day, but I want to go and do this anyway. And we always tell people to kind of get into something that you enjoy maybe a bit more. So if you are having a particularly bad morning and you're kind of going, oh, I do feel like crap, then yeah, do some of those tasks that you actually quite enjoy doing. Now, I would say do them all the time. But if most people, if you run the business, we have to do stuff that we don't necessarily enjoy sometimes. Yeah. So go and do the stuff you enjoy. Sometimes that will change your mood and change that feeling, and then you'll be more kind of get on with things the other day in another way. But I agree, it's not. I think there is a way to embrace those moods and make them work for you, or those feelings, rather than to kind of try and block them out, which actually then causes more stress and more anxiety, and actually then tires you out a lot quicker as well.
It's like what Fidel was saying about sort of like kind of not just like acceptance, because acceptance can kind of sound like another doing thing to do, but it's just like being with the weather, you know, the internal weather, just allowing it to be and doing stuff anyway, you know, just like let it be, let it kind of wash over you and still crack on. And it normally turns into something different quicker than if you're trying to sort of fight it and try, just sort of less resistance means sort of more of your potential can shine. That's been my experience.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we have come to the end of the show. I've ran over very slightly. I do apologize. But just for anybody that tuned in slightly later, we're just going to quickly run around the room and just remind people exactly what they do and how they can get hold of you. So, Fidel, over to you first.
So I'm Fidel Bohill, the Modern Man Coach. I'm really easy to find if you make a note of my name, Fidel Bohill. So find me on Facebook. I run the Modern Man Club, which is a free Facebook community for men, and the Modern Woman Club, which is a free Facebook community for women. Well, loads of women and me. my website is modernman.org.uk. That's how you can get a hold of me if you want to get through a little sticky patch in your life and you're a man.
Thank you very much for that. And guys, I highly recommend the Modern Man Club, it, as well as all the great knowledge you get out of it. There was some fantastic networking events. So I definitely get involved. Nick, over to you. Just give a quick reminder of what you do and how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, so I'm Nick Bottini. I'm an author and a coach that works with creatives and business people. My sense is that people want to find me, they'll find me. So nickbottini.com, or they can find me on Facebook. I tend to work with people in the music industry, but I've also worked with other people too. So always open to have a chat with people.
Superb. Well, Nick, Fidel, thank you so much for joining me. Really interesting episode. I'm actually going to watch this one back again.
Thanks for having us. It's enlightening.
It's so much fun. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Brilliant. I'm going to watch it. I like it. It's really one of my favorite episodes. I should probably say that after the show so everyone else is there. No, thank you very much. And for everybody who's watched, guys, if you have got something from the show and you've got some benefit, like I said before, all we ask is one thing, and that is to pay it forward and tag a couple of people in the post that you feel could benefit from it as well. Do not tag them just for the sake of tagging them. Do tag people you think will benefit, or share the video of them. It would be great. We are on everything, all the different social medias, so just look for us. We're back tonight at 8 p.m. with two more guests, and we're jumping across the pond to America. So we're going to have some American guests on for you tonight. And if you're in America and you're watching, they're there. So they're just there. It's no different, really. So guys, thank you very much for joining me. For everybody who's watched today, for the fantastic guests, Nick and Fidel. And we will see you all tonight at 8 p.m. Catch you later.
Thanks.
Cheers, guys.
Oh, Nick's gone.
Oh, I don't even know. I don't know how to leave.